following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome, everyone, to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast. Alongside Tom Silverstein, I am Olivia Reiner. If you are listening to this podcast the day it goes up, Thursday, April 1st, happy April Fool's Day. We're not going to play any jokes, pranks, whatever on you here. We've had enough crap to sift through this past year. We're not going to pull a fast one on you. Tom, have you been playing pranks today?
I have not. I am usually play the fool, so there's nothing more for me to accomplish on April Fool's Day. And nobody has tried to make me more of a fool than I normally am.
Great. Well, I'll do my best to not make you look like a fool on today's podcast. I ask you to afford that same kindness to me, and we will get through this together. It's been a couple weeks since we have checked in with all of you, and that means there's been some stuff that's happened. Hopefully you've been keeping up over on PackersNews.com. We do a live stream typically about once a week anyway during this off-season time of year, and we'll start to get a little bit more involved as we get closer and closer to the draft. Can you believe it? A month away from the NFL draft in Cleveland, Ohio this year. Exciting stuff. Packers have 10 picks. Lots of making it rain with the draft picks, as per usual for general manager Brian Gutekunst. Speaking of Gutekunst, let's dive into a little bit of a free agency update, Tom. Since we last chatted with the lovely people, the Packers have been kind of busy re-signing some of their own: cornerback Kevin King, tight end Mercedes Lewis, and defensive lineman Tyler Lancaster are all back in the fold for 2021. What are your initial impressions of this group coming back?
Well, first of all, it's a bunch of Green Bay Packers coming back. It's nobody from outside. And that is significant because I think the philosophy since the beginning of the offseason period has been to focus on bringing back as many guys from a 28 and 8 team the past 2 years. And to me, that's makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's not a lot of guys who have been playing on 28 and 8 teams. And so I think that philosophy is probably says to everybody that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur feel like they have what it takes to get to the next level. Now, adding guys like Kevin King and Mercedes Lewis, these aren't huge signings, but they give them depth, and they give them, you know, I would think the hope is that they find someone who can beat out Kevin King. But if they can't, then they at least have an experienced starter. Their hope is probably that Jay Sternberger plays out of his mind this year, really finds his groove. But if he doesn't, they're okay with Mercedes Lewis. I think they've protected themselves that way. The only thing they haven't done is added to their base, additional talent. And that's what they're going to have to do in the draft.
So presumably, you know, I spend a lot of time on Twitter, obviously, good or bad, for better or for worse. And certainly when Kevin King was signed, Tyler Lancaster was signed, I see a lot of vitriol on the internet. And, you know, I see both sides, and I want to hear both sides as someone that covers the team. I want to know how people feel out there in the universe, regardless of who you are and your connection to the team. But that being said, when people weren't super thrilled to see Kevin King coming back, Tyler Lancaster, same there. When fans look at this team and they look at free agency and the draft as a period of time, well, okay, let's see this team get better. This team has lost twice in the NFC Championship game, back-to-back years, Tampa Bay Buccaneers this past season, the season before that, the San Francisco 49ers. And I remember last offseason, there's this conversation around the team that's like, okay, what are they doing in the offseason to get better than the San Francisco 49ers? And this season, it's what are they doing to get better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? So that in mind, is that how fans, people should be discussing the offseason team building process, or is it more than just like, okay, this is literally this is the personnel that is going into this next upcoming season, and this is, you know, it's well, you're better or worse with players added versus players leaving.
There's a really easy way to look at this, and if you look around the league, who are the, you look at the best teams in the NFL, the ones that are in contention for Super Bowls, who are their best players? Typically, they're guys that they've drafted and brought up through their system. With the exception of Tom Brady, you know, that was a big free agent signing, but really, where is the strength of that team? It's on defense, where they've drafted all these really great players, and on their offensive line, where they've drafted good players. Kansas City, where is their strength? That's with Mahomes and those wide receivers that they've drafted. You know, you go down the line, 49ers, you know, when they were good and not injured, they were tremendous in the draft. And so what you need, your primary, I would say, collection of talent comes from guys who are coming up through the ranks, through the draft. So your third year guys got to be coming through for you this year. Your second year guys need to be coming through for you this year. That's where you're going to see the most improvement. Now, if you can add a free agent, it's not a bad thing, but it's got to be the right guy. And you don't count on that guy being one of your best players. You count on him being a compliment usually. And the cap situation that the Packers are in, they just don't feel like they have the money to do it.
Let's discuss the cap situation right now for the Packers, because it has been a whirlwind of an offseason, and we got into that a little bit, actually quite a bit, in our last episode of the podcast. But things have changed. There's been a little bit of an update to what's going on. Obviously, the Packers have signed a few players, but they've also reworked some of the contracts of a few different players. Kicker Mason Crosby being one of them, the Packers tacking on some void years to his contract. Safety Adrian Amos as well. And also, this is the second time that the Packers have touched Amos's contract this offseason. And then a little bit more restructuring as well for Billy Turner. So where does that put the Packers, Tom?
Yeah. So the thing to remember with all of this is it's just cooking the books. The money comes due at some point, you know, in later years. So they're not really restructuring contracts as much as they're just taking advantage of some rules, salary cap rules, that allow them to clear some room this year. They are roughly, I was just looking at it, 5.7, I think, under the cap. And that is 5.57 under the cap. But that does not include Mercedes Lewis and Tyler Lancaster, who together, my guess would be, you could knock about $2 million off that, maybe. So that's like 3.5 under the cap, which is pretty good situation to be in right now. So they have enough to pay for their draft. Their draft will probably be $2.5-3 million they'll have to have available. You assume they're going to gain some room when they extend Davante Adams. So right now they're in pretty decent shape. What would change is if, let's say, there's a trade that is a possibility and they can pick up a guy, or, you know, there's a cut somewhere where all of a sudden a guy becomes available and they like him. Then they got to start figuring out other ways to get money. And of course, that kind of rolls us into the Aaron Rodgers thing. So
the Aaron Rodgers thing. Yes. Let's get into the Aaron Rodgers, the thing. So when we last discussed the thing, so let's stop being so cryptic. So Aaron Rodgers signed through 2023. He obviously feels that there is some uncertainty about his future. That is what he said right after the NFC Championship loss this year. And that's just the truth, right? They drafted his replacement essentially in the draft last year. So Jordan Love is waiting in the wings. Aaron Rodgers is signed to 2023. Aaron Rodgers also coming off of an MVP season. So what are the Packers to do? Are they to extend him? Are they to, you know, move some money up and to give him more money this year and sort of rearrange some things? What do they do? And so far the answer is nothing. Nothing has happened for Aaron Rodgers. Right. He was due a roster bonus on the third day of the new league year. That was paid. The reason that is significant is that the Packers could have converted that and into a different type of bonus, a signing bonus, right, Tom, and spread it out over the duration of his contract. So his cap hit for 2021 would have been lower, and the Packers did not take advantage of that opportunity. So the question is, where do the Packers stand with Aaron Rodgers right now?
Yeah, so there's a couple things we need to address. And the first is this notion that if they don't take his base salary and convert it into a signing bonus to create $9 million worth of cap room, approximately, I think it's less than that, it means he's not coming back next year, that they've already decided that he's gone, that there's no guarantee. That is, to me, a total bunch of crap. He's got 3 years left on his contract. If they push money off into next year, there's a better chance that he sticks around There's a better chance he sticks around if they don't push money out, because his cap number won't be as high. His cap number will be roughly the same next year as it is this year. It'll be a little bit higher, 39. He's at 37 right now. Now, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're like, okay, you have the absolute right to say, I want more guarantee. I'm a reigning MVP. I want to know I'm going to be here for at least 2 years. Guarantee me that that'll be the case. The Packers, who paid him $57.5 million signing bonus, have absolutely the right to say, no, you play year to year. This is how the contract was. You're paid pretty darn well. You're still one of the highest paid guys in the league. And we're not going to invest all kinds of future salary cap money into a guy who's 37, who could get hurt and be nothing next year. And all of a sudden, maybe he's falls off the cliff. They don't know. But there's nothing that says he's absolutely not going to be there next year. If the guy balls out this year, he's coming back. They're bringing him back. They'll let Jordan Love sit for 3 years. I don't think they care about that. I think the big thing is they're protecting themselves in case Aaron Rodgers hits the wall at 37/38. So I think that's what's going on. It's both sides sort of protecting their own territory. And I don't know if it's going to turn into something ugly. I think there's just a lot of people who want to make it into something before it is. And so maybe it will turn into a battle of wills between the two, but right now he's under contract. And so unless he says he wants to be traded, then, and he's not going to report, then there's not much to it.
If there is a need for the Packers to create more cap room, how likely is it that they would touch Rodgers' contract?
I think it's possible. I mean, they have that option all through the year to do that. You know, maybe in December they decide they want to sign Jair Alexander to a long-term deal. And so they don't have enough cap room. They maybe use some of Rodgers' cap room. Maybe he's having a really good year and they know he's going to be back next year. And so if they know he's going to be back next year, then they push some money out to 2023 when the cap is expected to explode because of the new television deals that were signed just recently. So I think the key for them is flexibility, is to be able to not be locked in to one thing or the other. So they're playing it year by year with a 37-year-old quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers was 30, they would almost definitely guarantee or turn that money into signing bonus. They did it. Look at the guys they did it with. These are core young or guys in their prime, Adrian Amos, Billy Turner, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith. The only guy who doesn't really fit that is Mason Crosby. So it's about, you know, being smart with how you handle your cap.
We've discussed so much about, well, what if Rodgers falls off the cliff? What if he doesn't? And there's also, of course, the element of where on earth is Jordan Love in his progress right now. This offseason, didn't have a preseason last season. Essentially, all we really got to see of him was in training camp last year, and that was it. So this upcoming preseason, which is going to be abbreviated thanks to the fact that the league is adding on an extra regular season game. So it's going to be 3 preseason games, which means one less game for Jordan Love. One more regular season game for all of the fans out there, which is probably more enjoyable for them. And we can get into a little bit about the 17th game, but still, there's still so many questions about Jordan Love, just as there are questions about Aaron Rodgers' future. So there's a lot working here, and the Packers have a lot of factors to weigh as they continue to make these decisions, but they've set themselves up so that Aaron Rodgers is under contract until 2023 or through 2023. And they've got someone waiting in the wings in the worst possible scenario that Rodgers isn't, he falls off, right?
Yeah. You know, Brian Gutekunst was on the staff when the Packers had their flare up with Brett Favre. So he retired, and then it kind of let him know he wanted to come back, and then wasn't sure about it. And Ted Thompson recognized that he still had something left. And in, I believe it was April, he said, okay, we'll take you back. Come on back. You know, and Favre wouldn't commit. And it wasn't until June when everybody was getting report, or July actually, when everybody was getting ready to report to camp, that Favre said, now I want to play. Well, they had moved on, but they gave him that chance to come back. So Brian Gutekunst, my guess, what he learned from that is if the guy's still playing good, you don't get rid of him. They would have let Aaron Rodgers sit for another year. You go with, you know, what you know, and you protect yourself in case that isn't the case anymore. So I think what they're doing is, you know, Jordan Love's going to get a ton of work this year. He's going to get some offseason that he didn't get last year, it looks like. He's going to get a full training camp. We can talk about that preseason thing, because I think that's going to wind up in him getting more practice time than he actually did last year or would in a normal situation. And he's going to get tons of work during the season as a scout team quarterback. So I think that works out just perfect for them.
Right. And as we've discussed in the past, Tim Boyle is no longer with the Packers. He signed a deal with the Detroit Lions. So he's the number two. He's got a lot more responsibility this upcoming season, regardless of whether or not he plays during the regular season. And it's all interesting stuff. But yeah, at the end of the day, the Packers are trying to go about this the most intelligent way possible while not ruffling feathers of, you know, either camp, Rodgers camp, Love's camp, I'd imagine. So it's quite the interesting scenario, and it'll continue to play out.
Yeah. And you know, there's another thing, element that we can't ignore, which is that, which I'm sure everybody thinks about, is that maybe Matt LaFleur wants his own, I think every coach wants his own quarterback, wants the guy that he can develop and mold into what he wants. But Rodgers has taken him to 2 straight, you know, has been the quarterback for a team that's gone to 2 straight NFC championship games. So there's something to be said there, but we don't know what their thoughts on Jordan Love are. They saw him in practice. Maybe towards the end of the year, you know, he was looking really good. I don't know. Maybe they saw something that said, hey, we need to, you know, hedge our bets, be, you know, with Rodgers, because this guy is really looking good. I don't know. All those things are internal, but they have to be considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of questions, a lot of things we can't answer. We can speculate. We can spend 10 minutes speculating, which we absolutely just did. And there's still going to be questions that we have at the end of the day that, you know, well, maybe we'll know some more in a year, 2 years. Check back with us. The Green 19 podcast will continue to be talking about this. So that's that on that. Let us transition now to some of the owners meetings topics, which are happening virtually this year. And there's some noteworthy items, especially if you're an international fan of the Packers, that are, you know, are new rules that are occurring going forward. So we'll start with that 17th game, Tom. I know you wanted to talk about this a little bit. So the owners approved a 17th game. I saw a report that came out that the only owner that did not approve the 17th game was the Bears. So, you know, I think that was ESPN's report that the Bears did not vote yes on the 17th game. Do with that information what you will. That did not come out right. Anyway, yeah. So the 17th game, I guess, yeah, if you're a fan, if you just signed a million bajillion dollar television deal, you're probably like, sweet, more football. If you are a player, you're probably like, oh no, more football, more opportunities for me to get injured. And if you're someone covering the team, you're probably like, another road trip, really? At least for the Packers this upcoming season. The Packers, the 17th game is Packers at Chiefs in Kansas City. So we're shipping back out to Kansas City, which we did once in 2019. It feels like this past season didn't like exist because we really didn't travel this past season.
No. It's, they got 9 road games and regular season road games, 10 for the year. And boy, they're going to be doing a lot of traveling. I mean, they've got Arizona, they get Baltimore, so they're on both coasts, San Francisco as well, New Orleans, then, you know, two closer ones, Cincinnati and Kansas City. But depending on who knows how those things are you know, strung together. We won't know that until they release the schedule sometime in May. So that part is intriguing to me. They have to, I think I wrote a column about it for Thursday, was that these coaches are going to be just really trying to figure out, how do I keep my team healthy? How do I do best practices with a new, with an extra game? And whatever you hear from Roger Goodell, it's a bunch of bunk that, you know, we found that preseason games are more dangerous than regular season games. Well, that's because you have a bunch of young guys who will do anything to make a team, to try to show, and they're flying around and doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. And then, you know, you look at some of the snaps, you know, these guys could be playing like 1,300 snaps, which is just off the charts. So there's going to be a potential for a lot of injuries, and maybe down the stretch you start holding guys out if you got a good enough lead and you think you're going to have home field advantage, or you think you're locked into a certain spot. Maybe you just stop playing guys for a game or two, just to give them a rest. So, and another thing I thought is, what if you have like the week 4 bye week?
Ugh.
You know, I mean, God. Then you're stuck. You're going to play 14 weeks of football after that, right? Is that right? Yeah, you'll have played 4 games, and then you're bye. Well, no, fourth week,
three games,
bye, and then 15 straight games after that. So that's utterly ridiculous. I was really surprised they didn't put an extra bye in there and then cut the Super Bowl to just 1 week between the championship game. The preseason thing with 3 preseason games changes camp, because now after that 3rd preseason game, instead of 1 week until the season opener, there's 2 weeks. So what do you do with that extra week? The cut down will still be on that Saturday, the week before the opener. So you can practice, you can give guys the week off. You could give the veterans the week off and let the, you know, young guys who are competing for spots just practice. That's all the kind of stuff coaches are going to have to be thinking about as they approach training camp.
The Packers have had a lot of luck over the past couple of seasons with injuries, maybe less so last season, but still been pretty lucky with injuries for the most part. So Matt LaFleur and his staff are going to have to go back to the drawing board, figure out what works, what doesn't work, and try to apply that to this upcoming season with the extra game. And especially coming off of this past season and dealing with COVID and the extra health and safety protocols that were in place, there did seem to be like, there was a little bit more, you know, non high intensity practices. Like it felt like that they were a little bit pulled back in some places, especially, yeah, you know, at the beginning of training camp with the ramp up period. And maybe that's just one instance that is coming to mind top of my head, but they definitely had to adjust in certain ways. And in some ways, maybe it was for the better, for the future, for the players and their health. So yeah, we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think they did do, I think LaFleur is the modern day coach who's really aware of player health. Now, a lot of coaches are like that early on. And then as the years go by, they just get nervous about being prepared for everything. And they want to be on the practice field longer and longer and longer. And you're really going to have to fight that as a coach. You're going to have to do a lot of more classroom stuff. And maybe they are really light with them to start out that first week of camp and do a lot of conditioning and strength like they kind of did last year and make sure that they don't have a lot of injuries early on. But I'm curious to see if the NFLPA pushes to increase the rosters or have some rules like they did with the COVID guys where you could have as many injured reserve guys come back. It just seems like it's going to be really rough at some point where guys' bodies are going to start falling apart. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe it won't turn out that way, but it sure seems like it.
Yeah, the NFLPA president, J.C. Treader, former Packer, he wrote a letter yesterday, I believe, that went up on the NFLPA website, and I kind of skimmed it, but it was essentially discussing how a lot of the health and safety precautions that were taken this past season can be applied to this upcoming season, and how just some of the numbers behind, you know, just how the players were this past season in terms of their health. And the numbers were pretty good. So
yeah, sure, you know, when I covered the team back in the Stone Age, they just had a couple of mini camps in the off season, and that was it. The players stayed at home. And so I think Treader is making that case that you can do a lot of that stuff virtually. Now you can do meetings, you can learn the playbook, the changes, and then come in and have them work for a weekend or maybe it's a week or something like that. I think they do have to find ways to lighten the load in the off season if you're going to add this extra game.
Right. And why that matters, especially very soon, is because OTAs are coming up. This past season, they were all virtual because of the pandemic. And now it looks like the meetings are likely going to be virtual. However, there's still conversations that they're going to be doing some in-person on-field work this spring. And to my knowledge, I don't think the NFLPA would be very pleased with that because the pandemic is still happening. Not everyone's vaccinated. There's still the same concerns that players are going to get sick just as there were this past season. So yeah, we'll see. We'll keep you updated on that, and we'll see exactly what the NFL and the NFLPA agree to for OTAs. So that's the 17th game. In addition to that, the Packers are going international. They have no choice. It sounds like it. Sometime in the next nine seasons, the Packers are going to have to play internationally, which in the past, the Packers have managed to get around that by arguing that, hey, we can't give up a home game. There's too much of an economic benefit to the town of Green Bay there that comes with playing a home game that no other city in the NFL experiences. And that has, you know, that's valid. Absolutely. And now with the 17th game, the Packers are going to be playing an extra home game every other year. So the league is like, hey, how about you use one of those extra home games and take it international? So that's where the Packers are. If you're an international listener, hopefully you can listen to this podcast internationally. I'm not sure how that works, but where are you? Do you want the Packers to come to you? We have no power over that. But...
Where do you want to go?
Yeah,
if
right.
You had the choice.
If I had the choice, let's see. Ooh, I saw one of the Eagles writers that I follow was like, oh, I can't wait for Eagles Bears in Aruba in 2026. I was like, I would cover that game. That sounds like a fun game to cover. Yep. But it sounds like some of the options are in South America, Europe, Asia. I'm just listing all the continents. So pretty much every continent.
Sounds like London, Germany, couple places in England, Germany, Canada, Mexico, South America. Sounds like that's what's on the agenda.
Yeah, I think Germany would be an interesting place. This is so far down the line, but I mean, you think of the team connections. Who knows if Equanimeous St. Brown is going to be on the roster in 2020. Whoever knows, but
yeah,
he's his mother's German. And if the Packers draft his brother, another wide receiver in the draft, Amon-Ra, this upcoming April,
have a translator.
They can have two German connections on the roster. So that would be a perfect that'd be good marketing. I'm just spitballing out there.
I want to go to London because I got to stop in and see how Charles and Camilla are doing. You know, now that I've been watching The Crown, I have great interest in that. So
my parents are also
heading
watching
to the palace to check it out.
Charles, is he? My royal family knowledge is not super great. Is Charles? He's really old, right? He's the really old one.
Well, I think you're thinking of the Queen's husband, Philip.
Oh, I am
like
totally thinking
years
of Philip.
Yeah.
I was going to say, by the time the Packers play in London, if they play in London, I don't think Philip's going to be around.
Oh, no, they're indestructible. Queen Elizabeth and Philip are like probably the first people to live forever.
That's a whole other podcast topic. If
yeah,
you want to hear
sure,
that.
I heard a whole bunch of clicks right now turning off their podcast
because Olivia and Tom
talking about the crown.
Discuss the royal family. Yeah, that's not today. But anyway, so that's exciting, I suppose, if you're into international.
Bottom
games.
Line, we don't know when it's gonna happen. We have no idea, but they're gonna have to do it once in the next 9 years.
Yes. And then let's flip it to a little bit more local. So fans coming back, the Packers were able to open up the playoffs to more fans than they were able to do so in the regular season. Late in the regular season, opened it up to frontline workers, essential workers in the healthcare industry locally and their families. And then by the playoffs, the Packers were able to fill the stands a little bit more with some season ticket holders. So now that the vaccine is more readily available, still not totally available, I believe in the state of Wisconsin, that the vaccine is going to be available for everyone 16 and older starting April 7th. I should probably check that.
Next week. Monday, everybody.
Yes. So A, very exciting. B, that means that at some point, hopefully the NFL would like to see its fans back in the stadium. So I think that's just a big question mark as of right now to see what the Packers are going to do and how the vaccine is rolled out locally in the state of Wisconsin and then nationally as well, because Lord knows that people travel to Lambeau Field to come to see Packers games.
Yeah, I, you know, Murphy in the conference call with reporters, wasn't ready to say they'll go full. And that was smart because you don't know what's going to happen 3 months from now with this virus. You know, they thought it was going to last a couple of months or half a year. And here we are still dealing with it. So it was smart on his part not to, but I think we'll see quite a few, whether it's the full stadium or half, we're going to see a lot more fans than we did last year.
Which hopefully means if the NFL is so eager to get fans back into stadiums, hopefully that means that journalists can get back into locker rooms just as quickly.
And into our office so I can clean that coffee pot.
Oh, that's so, I forgot about that. Ugh.
It's probably grown into a 5-foot plant.
Oh God. Yeah. That's great. Anyway, we'll see how all this pans out. Lots of questions, more questions than answers about some of these things, but still very exciting to hopefully be moving on to better days ahead of us. Hopefully everyone is doing well, staying healthy. Anything else we wanted to touch on, Tom, before we sign off?
I don't know. Well, we're still a month away from the draft, which seems hard to believe. It seems like we should be closer to the
draft. It's just never ending. It's never ending because there's 18 million pro days now. It's like, I feel like in years past, we're less focused on the pro days because it's the combine. You rip the Band-Aid off. It's, you know, you get to see 300 plus people in one place and we get an understanding of who the top players are going to be. And then without that this year, it's pretty much just like it's pro day every single day. And it's just a very drawn out news cycle.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know. I'm hoping, I guess it's probably doubtful, but it would be nice if they were still able to like have some reporters come on draft day and be able to question these guys in person. I just think that would be a nice deal, but I'm sure that all depends on vaccinations and all that kind of stuff. So I just want some sign that we're out of the Zoom era, you know. That's all I'm hoping for.
At least we're not in the conference call era like we were literally almost a year ago with the draft last year. We didn't have Zoom at all. That was pre-Packers had figured out Zoom. we were on the phone. Do you remember
that? Is that right?
Really? Yeah. Wow. Oh, how could you forget?
I totally thought we were on Zoom.
Oh, no. If you think the Zoom days are tough, do you remember the conference call day? Wow. I think that was the only day we did the conference call. It was a mess. That was, Gutekunst spoke that one of the nights of the draft and there was dialed tones noise. And music and all this. Oh, it's just no one could hear him. It was a problem.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
So yes, anyway, so you know, count your blessings. Zoom, could it be better? Absolutely. Could it be worse? Absolutely. So we'll take what we can get. So anyway, that's going to do it for us today, everyone. Thank you so much for chatting. We will be back to get you ready for the draft, to continue to have conversations about free agency, the uncertainty of spring workouts, OTAs, all that good stuff. So make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com for all of your Packers news. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we will talk to you next time.